I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. 2 hours today, bringing you a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. We're going to really take a look at that today. While I was on the road, while I was gone for a couple of weeks, about a week into it, I ran across this segment by Dennis Prager, where he took on the Libertarian Party, much like Ben Shapiro, Alex Jones, Steven Crowder. I got to tell you, it seems to me that I'm sensing some fear with the Republican Party. And this feels kind of coordinated heading into an election. And we're going to play this clip from Dennis Prager. I'm not a Prager hater. I agree with a lot of the things that Dennis Prager talks about. I just found this segment to be kind of interesting and in what his implication really is to voters out there when it comes to how we go forward. There is an argument to be made that sometimes the Libertarian Party can be a spoiler, maybe hand over an election to someone else. This could be said really of any third party. But does that mean that we should really not, should we just settle into the status quo? How's that working out for us? How's that two wings of the same corrupt bird working out for us? You know, you wouldn't have an attraction to third parties. It doesn't matter whether it's on the right or the left. Libertarian Party, I'm going to show you, they actually draw some people from the left, too. A lot of people on the left are extremely dissatisfied with the Democrats. These parties are arising, much like the Tea Party arose in 2010, as a reaction to two massively corrupt political parties. They don't just start up and just start trying to tank elections. It is because the two political parties we have right now have led us where we are today. I wish there were 10 parties. I'd like to see just absolute chaos when it comes to politics at basically every single level, where they just can't get together and do anything. There's nothing better to me than gridlock. All the people who say, I just wish they'd get together and in a bipartisan manner do something. No, that's not what you want. I don't know if you've noticed. They've done a lot, particularly over the last 100 years, and none of it has made us any more free, any more prosperous. As a matter of fact, it's had the exact opposite effect. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today. Dennis Prager's speaking style is such that he takes pauses. Sometimes he makes me a little anxious. My hyperactivity takes over. Okay, go, get to the point, But the clip is kind of long. And we're going to, like I say, it's a thought experiment. I'll let you listen to Dennis Prager's arguments, which many people will agree with, and I'll tell you why he's a little off base in some of his thinking, in my opinion. So we'll take a look at that today. Quotes of the day today. Julian Assange. Anybody remember Julian Assange? He's still alive. He's still amongst us. Despite the best attempts of the Trump administration, and particularly Mike Pompeo, a Secretary of State under Donald Trump, to slow kill him, and the Biden administration continuing on that attempt to murder this journalist. Kind of strange the media is so silent on the government coming after and slow killing a journalist, isn't it? It's almost like the mainstream media, not really journalists, more political actors. But Julian Assange said, every time we witness an injustice and do not act, we train our character to be passive in its presence and thereby eventually lose all ability to defend ourselves and those we love. Every time we witness an injustice and do not act. And that's what the world is doing in the case of a very prescient quote from Julian Assange. There are people who are acting on his behalf, but political class. He exposed some deep state secrets. Just it was very strange to me that this president who came in as draining the swamp and taking on the deep state actually participated in persecuting the one person that was actually exposing that deep state. Feels a little disingenuous to me, but what do I know? Henry David Thoreau said, "There are thousands hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root." This will be a quote that applies to the issues I have with Dennis Prager saying, "You got to stick with the Republican Party. Just stick with them." And Henry David Thoreau also said, "Disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves." We certainly have seen that over the past couple of years. So before I get to this Dennis Prager segment show, it's going to be long-form radio. Let me just go ahead and tell you. But before I get to that, I do want to apologize. I never deliberately mislead anybody on this show. I do a great deal of research, and just about everything that I talk about, I follow facts the best I can. I try not to exaggerate or draw conclusions and present them as fact. But I follow the facts and I report on those, particularly the ones you won't hear from conservative radio, to kind of break through the propaganda of both sides. It's pretty easy for all of us to see through the mainstream media, see through political talking points, particularly on the left. That stuff is just, it's layups. I don't spend a whole lot of time. I'm trying to flesh out what conservatives hear, because there's a lot of stuff that is left out of conservative radio, in my estimation. So I do a lot on the economy. And I've been very concerned, especially this year. And the reason I've been concerned is, number one, I've got a pretty decent working knowledge of the economy and markets. I'm no genius, but I've spent 20 years. It's incredibly complex. There's some concepts that I barely get. Some things are so complicated that I don't spend the time to try to untangle them. But, you know, I look at charts and numbers, statistics, trends. I understand some historical references to certain things in the economy. And so I use all of these different data points to try to give you the most accurate picture of where we are and where we could be heading. But apparently I have gotten it all wrong. And I did want to apologize for that. I've been quite the Chicken Little when it comes to our economy, but it turns out I have truly missed the mark. And for that, I apologize, because we heard this just, I believe, yesterday.
Are you concerned about, just one more economic one, are you concerned about the strength of the dollar right now?
I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense? Yes. Our economy is strong as hell. The internal is.
So, Joe Biden has come out and said, have you seen this clip? Have you seen this clip of this man-child? He's got the body of an elderly man and the mind of a small child. He's actually eating an ice cream cone. You know, this really reminds me a lot of, you know, I'm equal opportunity basher of politicians here. When George Bush left the White House and began to go off and draw pictures of puppies and kitty cats, have you seen his paintings? I got to tell you, it's got a little bit of skill, but I did think it was kind of interesting. George W. Bush was a real mental midget. Now, I voted for the guy, was actually very enthusiastic, particularly in 2000, voting for George W. Bush. This is back when I was a Kool-Aid drinking, neocon, warmongering Republican sycophant. But as his time went on, I started to realize, oh my God, this guy is completely an empty suit. And then when he left the White House and started painting pictures, I mean literally of puppy dogs and kitty cats, I thought, well, that's very appropriate for this probably pretty mentally challenged guy. Guy of privilege, certainly, but not real swift. And I've challenged people many times. If you've got one clip of George W. Bush saying something that sounds intellectually challenging to anybody, just an intellectual statement at all. He's spoken a lot of platitudes and a lot of, aw, shuck, gosh darn, down home Texas slang. But now we've got a president who is kind of the city slicker child, He's eating an ice cream cone. He says the economy is just strong as hell, he says. I've got this playing on a loop because it's on a tweet. I'm just sitting here staring at this man-child eating his ice cream cone. The problem that I've had, how I got the economy so wrong and didn't, I needed Joe Biden to set me straight and tell me it's just strong as hell. It's things like this. Bond yields have already risen 11 straight weeks, the longest streak since at least 1978. And I've explained bond yields to you. These are interest rates, and these are going up. We've had a 40-year bull market in bonds, which is now cracking. A 40-year bull market. You know what happens to the stock market when it gets about 8 good years? You know, we saw what happened with we had a recession in the early 1990s. The stock market took off. The internet age, it peaked, I guess, in 2000, and then we had the dot-com crash, right? We know what happens over many, many years. In the stock market, 8 years, typically 8 to 10 years is when we start to blow up a bubble and then we see a big crash. And then we had another stock market rally from the depths of the dot-com up to the great financial crisis, another crash. Now we're about 11 years, 12 years, 13 years. I think the S&P bottomed in 2009, I believe. Maybe it was 10. I can't remember. About 12 years, bull run in the stock market. We've blown up another bubble. The bond market has been in a bull market for 40 years. Can you imagine the bubble that has blown over 40 years? 40 years of good returns in the bond market. It's going to be a hell of a bubble when it pops, and apparently it is. Bond yields rising for 11 straight weeks, longest such streak since at least 1978. And then I have this stack of headlines. Joe Biden says the economy is strong as hell. That's weird because the headlines say forecast for recession within a year hits 100%. This still cracks me up. We've just come out of 2 quarters of negative growth. Have we gotten reports on the 3rd quarter yet? I don't think we have. They may surprise us with a 0.4 positive print because they've understated inflation. We're certainly in a recession right now. But, of course, the financial elites are telling us by next year, probably, but we've been in a recession since January of this year. It's kind of weird. Here's another headline. Home prices slashed at record pace. Here's a fun one. Elder poverty rate. Elder poverty rate. Yeah, so I don't know. Those are the things I've been looking at. I guess I've been accumulating all of the wrong data points, looking at all the wrong research, paying attention to all the wrong stories. All I needed to do was ask Joe Biden. He says the economy's strong as hell. All right, we're going to come back. I got one headline, then we're going to get into this Dennis Prager stuff. You cannot stop this government. You just can't stop it. It is going to do what it wants to do. It doesn't care about you, and it doesn't care what you say or what your concerns might be. It is full speed ahead with any diabolical plan that they have. We'll talk just about this one headline that is really, it's really quite amazing. This is one of those headlines where it says, we've just completely lost control. We've absolutely lost control of what's going on in our society. We have no voice. You can vote as hard as you want, but things like this just keep on coming. I'll be right back. Radio is the salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. I missed one big headline yesterday. I had a ton of notes. I've been gone for 2 weeks. A lot of things happened. A lot of things I wanted to comment on, some of them briefly. But what? I guess I could save it for this week on the crazy train. Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he took over for Alan Greenspan. He's the one that was labeled as our savior for getting us through the 2008-2009 financial crisis. Of course, he printed money. See? Got to be the easiest job in the world. He just got a Nobel Prize for economics. We are suffering under the worst inflation possibly in American history. I think there might have been some brief points during the Civil War and times like that where things spiked and were chaotic and a little out of control. But certainly in modern times, the worst inflation we've ever had, I've explained to you that it's worse than the 1970s, early 80s. Because of the calculations, the way they calculate it. The worst inflation, Ben Bernanke is really kind of at the nexus of this. Greenspan, the Federal Reserve chairman before him kicked it off. But Ben Bernanke really took over and pedal to the metal, started printing up a bunch of money, and then he handed it off to Janet Yellen, and then he handed it off. She handed it off to Jerome Powell. They've all just been massive money printers up until now. So he gets a Nobel. This is the same, as many people pointed out, that Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize before he did anything, and then he proceeded to drop more bombs during the Obama administration than George W. Bush did during his term. This accomplished a great deal, nothing for the American people, but it did get the left to be very pro-war. Barack Obama's probably crowning achievement for the military-industrial complex is that he took a formerly anti-war left and turned them into bloodthirsty warmongers. We're seeing that right now when it comes to Russia. But Ben Bernanke getting the Nobel Prize for Economics is very similar to Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. And I wanted to just bring up this one story before I move on to my longer segment. I'm a little scared about this Dennis Prager thing. The clip is very long. I have a lot to say about it. I've got a little bit of Tech Tuesday stuff I want to get to at the end of. There's something interesting that happened during Hurricane Ian that I'm not sure if people are aware of technology-wise, and I wanted to bring that up at the end of the show. And this Dennis Prager clip could consume easy an hour of this show if I play the whole thing and comment on it all. So maybe I'll try to shorten it up a little bit. But when I say before the break, we just cannot control our government. It does not matter what we want. It does not matter what our concerns are. It does not matter what we think. They are going to do what they want to do. And the political class will go along with all of it. Researchers at Boston University have created a new strain of COVID-19 that has an 80% kill rate in humanized mice. In an effort to research what makes Omicron so transmissible, and funded in part by grants from the National Institutes of Health and Anthony Fauci's NIAID, the researchers cobbled the Omicron spike protein to the original strain of COVID-19. The resulting virus was 5 times more infectious than the Omicron. This is the preprint study. It says, quote, the Omicron spike S protein with an unusually large number of mutations is considered the major driver of these phenotypes. We generated a chimeric recombinant SARS-CoV-2 encoding the S gene of Omicron in the backbone of an ancestral SARS-CoV-2 isolate and compared this virus with the naturally occurring Omicron variant. This is from the preprint. They are still monkeying around with this stuff. It doesn't matter what we think. Oh, I'm sure this lab is very secure. As secure as the Wuhan lab, certainly. And this was, Boston University funded by our government. They are still splicing this stuff together. This should be a crime against humanity that they're even messing with this stuff. Oh, they're just doing it for research purposes. Isn't that always what they were doing in Wuhan, too? They're just researching. You know, I've never been so proud. I took a stance against something that I really was surprised. I felt kind of alone in it. This was, I don't know how long ago this was, 10, 15 years ago. And I remember them talking about they were going to open up a bio lab, I believe out here in Flora, Mississippi. It was somewhere in central Mississippi, but not in Jackson, not in Mississippi. I swear, if I remember this correctly, I think it was in Flora, right where our little radio station is here. And I remember thinking, I don't want that. Now, what everybody was talking about was the jobs. And this new, you know, tech people that would be here, I understand wanting to attract maybe some technology jobs to our humble state here in Mississippi. But I just remember thinking, I'm not really for a bio lab in our community. And nobody else seemed to really care about that. Everybody was just, as I say, they were extolling the idea of a new industry and the jobs and all that stuff. I just thought, well, you know, there's a lot of industry out there. A lot of different technology, even a lot of medical research going on. A bio lab, I just prefer that not be here. Now, it turns out, I guess it doesn't matter where they have the labs. The most recent one was half a world away, and it wrecked the entire world with, well, not the disease, but the excuse for totalitarian control over every society because of an escaped germ from that lab. But I'd prefer maybe to not be at ground zero in Flora. This lab obviously did not come. I did not shed any tears over that. The bio labs, we can attract a different kind of business than that. The people in Boston, look out. If you know anybody working at this lab, might not want to invite them over to Thanksgiving dinner. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So I am, as far as I know, the only professed libertarian on radio in central Mississippi. I'm a small L libertarian, and really I come to libertarianism not because of a party, but because of a philosophy of real freedom. I believe that the founding fathers started this country on libertarian principles. And I think we started off quite a great experiment at the time. We've destroyed it, of course, because we've handed over our power to a political elite class. And they have really marketed themselves extremely well, particularly the fear factor. I know a lot of people who say things like, I'm pretty libertarian. But most people don't truly understand it, and I wanted to play this clip with Dennis Prager where he takes exception to the Libertarian Party. Let me go ahead and say this out front: I don't hate Dennis Prager. He does his show is on our station, and anytime many times I work late at night, and I'll be in the car, I'm listening to Dennis Prager. He says a lot of things that I agree with. He's got a great channel, YouTube. They put out like 5-minute kind of freedom based videos. And some of the arguments that he makes against the Libertarian Party as a spoiler for elections, I'll grant that is a possibility. Now, I'm going to raise a little bit of objection to his just overarching conclusion here. But this is Dennis Prager. He did a segment, and I'm going to say this again because this feels a tad bit coordinated to me. We've had Alex Jones come out and say that he is not only he has been a self-professed libertarian for probably 20 years. He got on the Steven Crowder show and said, I'm now anti-libertarian, and he called the Libertarian Party a cancer. I have been as critical of the Libertarian Party as I have been of the Republican Party. It's a different criticism. I've talked about the fact that the Libertarian Party was a train wreck. There were a bunch of woke people running it. I really couldn't stand the Libertarian Party. Itself. I come at libertarianism from the philosophy of it, the philosophy really of the founding fathers and freedom. So I've been very critical of the Libertarian Party, but they've recently been taken over by another group of people called the Mises Caucus. And I agree with just about everything they say. Let me say this too. So I joined the Libertarian Party for the first time ever. Been a libertarian now for about 20 years, 18 years. Never joined the party because it was a train wreck. You should have seen some of their debates. The production on some debates that I saw of the Libertarian Party in years past was worse than like a high school AV club. I mean, it was terrible. They were unpolished, unprofessional. It was just really a terrible party. There is now the Ron Paul movement has taken over the Libertarian Party, so I joined. But people don't really understand libertarianism. They say that they do because they, a lot of people who like to call themselves patriots and these kinds of things, they understand that they should be for freedom. It's just that they constantly allow politicians in the Republican Party to tell you where your freedom lines should be. They'll be in charge of your freedom. The Republican Party that says you know better to do what you're with your money than the government does, and Republicans cheer for that and say, so that is why we have decided to cut your tax rates down from 28% to 25%, and Republicans cheer. That's not freedom. That's just slavery at a discount. So the libertarian ideals really aren't very deeply entrenched in a lot of people, and I understand that, but that's kind of why I've got a show here. That's my differentiator. So Dennis Prager went on about the Libertarian Party and what a danger it is. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Dennis Prager, and I'm going to stop probably many times.
So I'm going to go into a political matter at this moment.
You know, hold on a second. I'm having to I'm having to use a different computer here because the file's so long. I don't want to muddy up the station computer with my libertarian propaganda. So let me get into this. I'm sorry. Like I say, sometimes I do have flubs here in the station as much as I try to get it right. Here we go.
So I'm going to go into a political matter at this moment. American Greatness, one of the finest sites there is, has an article, "Will Libertarian Candidates Again Deny GOP the Senate?" We use libertarians on the program. We have them make videos for PragerU. They have excellent ideas and critiques of big government, which is critical.
Now, I find that very interesting. So Dennis Prager's no anti-libertarian philosophy. Says they've got great ideas. They point out the problems with the giant government. This is very valuable. So he's not opposed to libertarian ideas. He is talking about this more in terms of politics.
However, the Libertarian Party, to vote libertarian is an exercise in answering the following question in the wrong way. Will I do good or will I feel good? I would say that in the human species, people choose feeling good over doing good most of the time. That is what happens when you vote for the Libertarian Party. You are doing bad. That's right. You are doing something bad. You're probably a wonderful human being with great ideas, and I share most values with you. But I don't share the biggest single value right now, and that is defeating the left. You have wasted your vote and taken it, in most cases, from the Republican Party, which is certainly imperfect. I couldn't agree more, but it is the only alternative to the Democratic Party, which is destroying this beautiful, wonderful, free country. So when you weaken the battle against the left, which is what every libertarian vote of a conservative does, you are harming the country, though you mean well. But you know what? As you probably do know what? Meaning well means nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if you ask, am I doing good or feeling good, you won't vote for the Libertarian Party. You will vote for the Republican Party.
Now, I'm gonna bring up a couple of points here. First of all, are you doing good? Are you doing good by voting for Lindsey Graham? Now, Lindsey Graham is a Republican. He's not a Democrat. So by putting Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, the John McCain's boy toy warmonger in South Carolina, if you put him into the Senate, you are keeping a Democrat out of that Senate seat. But are you doing good? It would be my estimation that putting Lindsey Graham into the Senate as a Republican is doing bad, but maybe not doing worse. So the idea that, you know, not voting straight Republican and allowing some libertarian to get one of your votes doing something bad, this depends on what the Republican that's running does. Lindsey Graham, a vote for Lindsey Graham, you are doing bad. You're doing bad for the size of our government. You're doing bad for our freedom. You're doing bad for humankind around the planet as Lindsey Graham froths at the mouth for every life that he can snuff out around the world. He's a warmonger. He's a blood-soaked war criminal. So I take a little bit of exception to this idea that it's the libertarian vote that you think you're doing good, but you're actually doing bad. But had you voted for a Lindsey Graham, and I could go down the laundry list of these kinds of people, John McCain's, Liz Cheney's, were you doing good by voting for a Liz Cheney over a libertarian candidate in, where was she, Montana? Because you got an R in there. Is that the right thing to do? But I also want to bring up this point. And this is a huge point because this really refutes, I think, a lot of what you're about to hear Dennis Prager say. This was posted on Breitbart. It took me all of about 10 seconds to find this. This was posted on Breitbart. It was a piece from The Hill, but posted again to Breitbart, the right-wing Republican website. This is from the 2016 election cycle, when Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, who I did not support, were running on the Libertarian ticket for president. Here is the story from The Hill, posted on Breitbart. Democrats panicked by third-party candidates drawing support away from Hillary Clinton are ramping up their attacks against Gary Johnson and warning that a vote for a third party is a vote for Donald Trump. Liberal groups are passing around embarrassing photos of Johnson and running ads against him, warning about his positions on issues like climate change that are important to young voters and independents. The Libertarian ticket of Johnson and Bill Weld is running surprisingly strong among young voters, a cog in the Obama coalition that Democrats need to turn out for Clinton if she's to pull away from Trump. Whether Clinton reaches these voters could determine the outcome of critical battleground states like Colorado, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. There is also a Politico article to the same effect. And the reason that I bring this up is Dennis Prager's supposition is, this is the headline of Politico, Gary Johnson cuts into Clinton's lead. Gary Johnson was never supposed to be a problem for Hillary Clinton. This is a Politico article. The low-profile libertarian's presence on the ballot would serve as an easy out for never-Trump Republicans. Democrats aligned with the nominee have long figured, and that could only hurt Donald Trump. But as national and battleground polls tighten and Democrats' hand-wringing grows more urgent, operatives both within and allied with Clinton's political operation who are looking around to explain Trump's new polling strength are growing increasingly wary of the former New Mexico governor, the Libertarian candidate. Maybe it was the Libertarian Party that gave you Donald Trump. Maybe the Libertarian Party, because of their stances on things like anti-war, very strong on civil rights, against the drug wars, against the banker bailouts. See, libertarians can appeal to people on both sides because they know, much like I know and talk about in the show a lot, we're all getting screwed by the same people. And so the libertarian parties want to unscrew the people. And many Democrats and left-wing people see that and say, yes, the bankers and the Fed do have too much power. If you can ever get a leftist to understand the Federal Reserve and why we have this wealth inequality, they'll understand that the enemy is not their neighbor with the Trump sign. It is the Federal Reserve, the banking system, the political elite that run our financial system. That's why they're getting screwed. See, the Libertarian Party draws from both parties. Dennis Prager's point is he can only imagine that people would vote Libertarian if they were going to vote Republican. And I've got two articles right here, one from The Hill appearing on Breitbart and another one on Politico that shows the exact opposite. So as he goes on, I'm going to take a break real quick. As he goes on, keep this in mind. He's operating off of a failed premise, which is that Libertarian Party only is a spoiler for the Republican Party. These articles show that polling Libertarian Party draws people from the left. Now, many people might say, well, I don't want to be in a party if anybody on the left. Look, I've said it for 5.5 years now. There's good thinking people on the left. They don't like the Democrat Party. You don't like the Democrat Party as a conservative. You actually have something in common. If you stop screaming at each other and calling each other names, y'all might realize that you have some of the same ideas. Your solutions might be different. But the idea that the Libertarian Party is only a spoiler to the right is flawed. We're going to come back and finish more of this with Dennis Prager. Hold on a second. All right, we're going to carry on with this Dennis Prager takedown of the Libertarian Party. Let me say this, too. The Libertarian Party of right now is completely different than the Libertarian Party of 4 months ago. And I think that's what's got the GOP extremely nervous. This is the Ron Paul fact. Ron Paul was a threat to establishment Republicans back in 2008. I'm talking about a big threat. He was polling extremely high, particularly among young people. People were seeing the follies of the wars. Ron Paul was doing money bombs. He was raising more money than anybody. We talk about Trump's rallies now, and Trump took it to a whole nother level with his rallies. But Ron Paul was the one having massive crowds at his rallies back in 2008 when it wasn't really a thing. And so the Republican Party, I was involved in the 2008 campaign of Ron Paul. I saw the dirty tricks the Republican Party came out to try to crush Ron Paul. Well, his movement is back in the Libertarian Party, and I think they have put out the message. Hey, Alex Jones. Hey, Steven Crowder. Hey, Ben Shapiro. Hey, Dennis Prager. I'm waiting on the rest of them. I'm waiting on Dana Loesch. I'm waiting on Charlie Kirk, whoever else it is. They will do this as well, I believe. I feel like this is coordinated. I could be wrong. And I understand the stakes in this election. I'm not of any illusion that the Libertarian Party is somehow going to take over control of Congress and we're going to elect a Libertarian president. I'm not in any of that. None of that stuff is. It's just this idea, this dismissal by Dennis Prager that we got to stick with the status quo. That's essentially that's his message. Of course, I'm going to take about an hour to explain this boomer mentality of Dennis Prager, in my opinion. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. I'm going to get this all out of order, and this is going to last longer than maybe it should, but I think it's interesting, and I've had a couple of callers. I do want to hear callers on this issue because you've got a great point. If you think that the Libertarian Party is going to destroy the chances of the Republicans taking over the Senate or the House, I understand that fear. We got to stop the Democratic Party. I am totally with you. I am all for a red wave. There's not going to be a porcupine wave. Libertarian Party uses the porcupine as their symbol, which I love, which just basically means, hey, stay away from me. The libertarian message to the government is leave me alone. So they use the porcupine, not the ass or the elephant. I guess the elephant for the Republicans is a bloated federal government is what that stands for. And the ass of the Democratic Party, well, you can draw your own conclusions there. But I've just read you this polling that showed that Hillary Clinton actually was losing ground where a libertarian candidate was polling well. You may owe the Trump presidency to the Libertarian Party, not even know it, because Dennis Prager is trying to convince you that it's only the Republicans that libertarians draw from. Let's play a little bit more of this, and it's going to bleed into the next hour. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to stop this particular segment.
It's a great article on that fact in American Greatness, as I pointed out. The political reality in America today is that of a two-party system. Embracing this reality means if you want to change the political direction of the nation, you have to transform one of the two major parties.
How's that working out for us? Anybody waiting with bated breath, you think you're going to change the Republican Party? You think you're going to drive the Mitch McConnells, Roger Wicker stumbling over himself to send $40 billion to Ukraine while Jackson has no drinkable water? Any day now, I'm sure you're going to really change the Republican Party.
Denying this reality by running as a third-party candidate can also transform the political direction of the nation, but it's unlikely to change in the direction of the third-party candidate. The third-party candidate wants to go. Third-party candidates rarely win elections.
That's true.
But they're very good at splitting the vote. This is the only context in which the National Libertarian Party, if you vote Libertarian and you don't agree, I'm very anxious to talk to you, by the way. 1-8-PRAGER-776. The party of principle, quote unquote. Really, the party of principle. So I will let my country sink and die because I stand up for principles.
So the only way our country survives, according to Dennis Prager, abandon all of your principles. Vote R. It doesn't matter who the candidate is. And this is one of my problems with this attack on the Libertarian Party. There's no distinction between a good Republican and a bad Republican. Dennis Prager is, don't vote Libertarian, vote for the R. He says that is doing good. But I will tell you, I don't have the list of senators in front of me. The list of Congress critters in front of me. There's a whole host of R's that is doing bad. It just might not be doing the worst by voting for the Democrats. That's the best you can say. You're not doing good. You're not doing good by putting a Liz Cheney in. You're not doing good by putting a Mitt Romney in. you're not doing good by a Marco Rubio, but you may be doing less damage than putting, what's the woman that's running against Rubio? Val Demings, I think is her name. Maybe you're doing less bad, but I will say you're not doing good. But the idea is you need to abandon all of your principles and let the Republican Party just do what it does. Quit asking for freedom. Quit talking about the Federal Reserve. The Republican Party loves the Federal Reserve. They love it. It is what pays for the warfare state that they love. It's what pays for the crony corporatism in this country that they love. That's where their campaign contributions come from, the Republican Party. Abandon your principles and just vote R.
I stand for principles, too. The biggest principle might be I live in reality. I don't live in a make-believe world. Democrats, leftists live in a make-believe world where sex is not a given. It's assigned. Bye.
He goes off on a bit of a tangent here. I'm going to try to skip through some of this because he talks slow and the clip is long. And he's right. Everything he says about the left, everything he accuses me of, and the danger that the left poses to this country, he's right about all of it. He's just wrong about the fact that the Libertarian Party only draws from the Republicans. And I believe he's wrong about the fact that you should sacrifice all of your principles and just vote R and then think that you're doing good, that you can feel good because you actually did good. I ask you to look around. We've had Republicans in charge for a long time. Many years they were totally in charge. How's that going for us now?
No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm playing this Dennis Prager clip. You're just joining me. Dennis Prager did a show really, I don't really want to say criticizing, chastising anybody who would vote for the Libertarian Party over a Republican. He says that it might make you feel good, but you're actually doing bad. You're destroying your country. There's a few things about this. Obviously, I'm taking exception to a great deal of this. Let me preface this with a few things. One is the current Libertarian Party now, I couldn't stand the Libertarian Party until a few months ago. Only joined a little while ago as this Mises Caucus group of Ron Paul guys took over the party. And within this group of people, they are clearly on record right now saying if a good Republican is running in a race, they will not challenge. Now, let me rephrase that. They will not support a Libertarian candidate entering a race where there's a good Republican or probably a good Democrat. Occasionally, there's one of those. Tulsi Gabbard was okay on some stuff, so the LP wouldn't have focused on a seat that Tulsi Gabbard might have kept because she's good on wars. You understand what I'm saying? The Libertarian Party, right now, the Libertarian Party, the people at the top of the Libertarian Party are supporting Blake Masters. I think that's in Arizona. He's the Republican over the Libertarian candidate. They have told the Libertarian candidate, stop your race and endorse Blake Masters. We think he's a good Republican. The Libertarian Party is not out to destroy anything. They're not trying to gather votes. They're not under the illusion that they are about to sweep the nation with libertarians. But they know it's a good opportunity to maybe nudge the Republican Party. The other thing is, look, if I think the path to least resistance to getting some freedom back in this country is for the Republican Party to embrace true freedom and libertarian ideas. That would be the easiest thing to do. But I'll be honest with you, Republican voters are too stupid to look for libertarian candidates. We just saw you, but you can't beat Michael Guest. He's a nice guy. I knew Michael Guest. But Republicans, particularly in Mississippi, the people I'm talking to, you continually elect establishment people that you complain about ad nauseum. So there's no reform of the Republican Party coming. There's not even signs of it anywhere. Donald Trump was no freedom lover. Take the guns first, due process second. It's a cult when you get into a political party and just vote for a letter. And then there's zero accountability whatsoever for these people. The Libertarian Party sees its role right now, at least from what I've heard, as being kind of the nudging factor. If you're going to give us crappy Republicans, then expect a challenge from the Libertarian Party. We might destroy your chances. But again, is it any great Is it a great tragedy if Lindsey Graham loses a race? I want to see the Democratic Party stopped, too. So does the Libertarian Party. Go listen to them. Read the Libertarian Party Twitter feed. They are against all this woke nonsense, but they're also against the wars and the drug wars. There's a lot of things conservatives have problems with because you tinker around with the idea of freedom, but you don't really want freedom because you don't trust your neighbor with freedom. You think you can handle it, but my friends know we've got to have certain rules. Strong law enforcement. Got to be putting people, they got to build prisons, stack them like cordwood. So there's, you know, but the Republican Party has got a kernel of ideas of freedom and liberty in it. And the best thing that could happen is that the Republican Party become more Thomas Massie out of Kentucky, and less Lindsey Graham, more Rand Paul, and less Marco Rubio. That would be great. I'll vote R if you give me a good candidate. I got no problems with that whatsoever. I'm not a party loyalist. I don't really like parties. And if the LP changes again, I'll dump them like a hot potato. I couldn't care less. But I'm going to let Dennis Prager go on. I know I'm dragging this out, but I think it's just, this is interesting. To me, this is Dennis Prager, the boomer. No offense to boomers, but offense to boomers. You're fine with the status quo because there's no accountability once they get into office for a Republican. You let them do whatever they want to do. Roger Wicker is promoting World War III right now with his belligerence towards Russia and funneling money to Ukraine to keep this war going and heat it up. Is that doing good? Now, maybe you kept who was running against Wicker last time on the Democrat side. I'm sure it was somebody terrible. Did you do good by putting somebody that is marching us towards World War III into office? Or did you just do less bad? Because the Democrat, I'm sure, would be marching us towards a World War III, too. But if they're both doing something horrific, it doesn't mean that you did good by voting the R horrific. Anyway, here's Dennis Prager.
What's the word I'm looking for? What the payoff is? I guess that's as good a word as any. What do you get from taking a vote away from the right and giving it to the left? Why do you feel good about yourself?
Now, again, I just read you last hour, if you're just joining me, two articles, one from Politico, one from The Hill, as featured on Breitbart, about how the Libertarian vote actually hurt Hillary Clinton in 2016. So his entire premise of this is a vote for a Libertarian is a vote for the left because you're taking a vote away from the right. That's just, by polling, not true.
What have you achieved by voting for the Libertarian Party if you are a conservative? What have you achieved? Is there any more important question about anything you do in life? What have you morally achieved? I'm not talking about what have you achieved financially.
I mean, I got to ask you, I know I should have taken these pauses out. I left the pauses in. This is just his style. He's got a bit, it's a tad bit of a sleepy style for me, but Dennis Prager's a very smart guy. Put out a lot of great material. This is not a Prager hater segment in any way, shape, or form. It's just a disagreement about this particular thing. What have you achieved? What have you achieved for this country each time that the Republicans have been in total control? And they've run up deficits, and they've committed us to new wars, and they feed the military-industrial complex, and they feed Big Pharma with Medicare Part D, the largest entitlement since LBJ. What have you achieved? See, the Republicans only play defense. Have you noticed this? And I agree, there's certainly a level of doing that, but if you're in any kind of a competition with anything, you can't just have defense. Right? Because eventually they get one past you. You've got to actually go off and do, but that's not what it is. The Republican Party is completely defense, and they're losing, if you haven't noticed. They do nothing bold when they're in power. As a matter of fact, they really just become more of the same, more debt, more wars, more social entitlements, more everything. A larger Department of Education. I hate to say it. Donald Trump gave the Department of Education the biggest budget they've ever had. What did you achieve? So I think the question could be asked regardless of how you vote.
Yep. This party, with its principled candidates above all else, believes in limited government, which is to say they oppose socialism. And voila! When you split the anti-socialist vote, the socialist wins.
Now, this is an interesting point to me. Is a vote for a Republican a vote against socialism? Do we believe this any longer? This is the Republican Party that passed the largest entitlement program in Medicare Part D back in 2004, 5, 6, somewhere in there, to give big pharma products at taxpayer expense to senior citizens to buy their vote. Oh, and to land some cushy job with big pharma. The Republicans say nothing about our central bank that's created the inflation that you're living under right now and has massively enriched the top 0.01%. A central bank is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. And the Republicans are, mouse silent on the Federal Reserve. Have you noticed this? So are you really voting against socialism when you vote for a Republican, or are you just voting for socialism light? Massive military, which is taxpayer funded. No, they don't talk as much about the entitlements, and they criticize the welfare system, as they should, but they don't do anything about it, do they? Are you really fighting against socialism with a vote for the current Republican Party? The current Republican Party is at best socialist light.
If you can refute that one line, I will visit you and
come on.
Offer you one of my finest cigars.
All right. I think I just earned a cigar from Dennis Prager.
Let me repeat that line. When you split the anti-socialist vote, the socialist wins. That's a great line, isn't it?
Well, I think the line would be, if you vote for a Republican or a Democrat, the socialist wins. Have you looked at the size of the federal government under either one of these parties? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Doesn't matter who's in charge.
That's exactly what happens. Why do people vote Democrat who are liberal and not leftist? Because it feels good. It would feel awful to vote Republican. Most people are governed by feelings. Mm-hmm. Feelings make us human, but they're crappy guides to how to behave. It's quite remarkable. I wish I could sit back and just ruminate on the human condition. Unfortunately, I feel morally obligated to take part in the human condition. I don't like watching things get destroyed.
All right, so he's got some great points on all that stuff. I don't disagree with him at all. Where I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back. He's not done. I told you this could be a long segment. Libertarian Party is not out to it is out to give you some level of an alternative to what's been going on. And we should quash that. We should chastise anybody for reaching for something different. You know, the Tea Party was very effective for a very short period of time of kind of nudging the Republican Party back to some level of constitutional government. It didn't last long because the Republicans went out there and put their loving arms around the Tea Party and said, "Hey, guys, you got some neat ideas. We hear you. Come on back into the Republican Party. We're going to give you a seat at the table." Where's the Tea Party now? Hello? Anybody seen the Tea Party recently? Taxed enough already was what T stood for. You're paying a huge inflation tax right now, and all the Republicans can do is say it's Bidenflation. They won't explain to you that the Federal Reserve and the monetary system created this inflation over decades. They won't tell you that because then you'd catch on and you'd take away their gravy. You would take away their gravy train if you actually understood inflation. So they trick you. They couch it in partisan terms. Joe Biden, this guy who probably is not capable of doing a double knot in his own shoelaces, somehow unleashed all of this inflation all by himself. That's what they'll tell you, because that's what gets votes. And when they get in charge, they will bail out, they will print, they will borrow, they will spend, and the inflation will continue to get worse. We're going to come back. I'm going to try to finish this up. I know this is long, but it's just chock-a-block full with things that I think are absolutely kind of, I don't know if it's disingenuous. It may be what he believes. Maybe I should send Dennis Prager these two stories from The Hill and from Politico that show that it might be the Libertarian Party that actually got Donald Trump elected in 2016 because they ate away at Hillary's votes. Nobody liked Hillary Clinton. A lot of people on the left were looking for any alternative to Hillary Clinton. And the Libertarian Party might have been a receiver of some of those votes. How about that? All you Trump supporters out there, you may have the Libertarian Party to thank for a Donald Trump presidency. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
All right, I'm not going to have time to get through this whole Dennis Prager thing, I can tell you right now. He speaks too, so I should have cut out all the pauses and run him up to about 1.25% running speed. I probably could have gotten through the whole thing. Here's what I'm going to tell you, though. I'm going to play a little bit more of it, but let me tell you what is absent from the entire thing. This clip is 15 minutes. I won't have a chance to get through it all, but let me tell you what was absent in this entire presentation is the idea that, hey, Republicans, if he thinks that the Republican Party is going to lose a lot of votes to the Libertarian Party, and that's going to cost them elections, maybe the thinking should be, what are the Republicans doing wrong that is disaffecting people who want real freedom? I know a lot of conservatives out there. I know a whole lot of conservatives. And one of the things I hear from just about every single one of them is, I just want to be left alone. It doesn't matter if this is wokeness stuff. It doesn't matter if it's regulations or taxes. These conservatives say, I just want to be left alone. That's what the Libertarian Party is about. That's why they're spirit animal is a porcupine. You'll know you're behind me in traffic if you see a black little black two-door sports coupe with a porcupine sticker on the back of it. That's me. So why doesn't Dennis Prager say, boy, the Republicans got to get their act together? More and more people are starting to look at the Libertarian Party because the Republican Party has gone so far afield. They're funneling money to Ukraine. They're passing entitlement programs. They're running up massive deficits. The Republican Party needs to change to make sure these people don't leave the party for this Libertarian Party. That is absent in his entire presentation. There's no idea that the Republican Party is at all responsible for losing voters. All the responsibility lies, and according to Dennis Prager and any of these other people that are doing these same attack jobs on their Libertarian Party, all of the responsibility lies on that stupid voter who's doing evil by voting a different way. No responsibility to the parties to fix themselves. Same thing on the left. I don't care if it's the Green Party or whatever it is on the left. The Democrats do the same thing towards the Green Party or any other party. And I was talking to a caller, you know, Dennis Prager wants us to accept the status quo, that you're only doing good if you vote, if you pull for an R. And I get it, man. I get it. I want to see a red wave in a couple of weeks. I really do. As much as I dislike the Republican Party, I'd like to slow down the careening towards the cliff to give me a little bit more time to personally prepare. I'm not of any illusion that the Republicans are going to fix anything, but I'd love a little bit more time. But they, you know, they let the Reform Party candidate on the stage in 1992 in Ross Perot. And Ross Perot had a pretty good showing. And the Republicans and the Democrats, hand in hand at one of their cocktail parties, you know, after they're out there in front of the cameras yelling at each other and calling each other names, they go to their cocktail parties. And at one of these cocktail parties, apparently they said, oh, my God, did you see what just happened when we showed the American people a different way of thinking? This Ross Perot character got a bunch of people that had never heard of the Reform Party, had never heard anything outside of just Republican and Democrat talking points. And Ross Perot was that turd in the punch bowl to the 1992 election. They haven't let a third party candidate on the stage ever since. Because it's the mafia. It's the Sinaloa cartel and the, what's another one? It's two cartels that want to run the whole game. They've got to crush any competition. They're not going to get any better. The Republican Party is not going to get any better, particularly if they've got you convinced just vote R no matter what, that you're a bad person if you don't vote R. I have voted, except for Donald Trump. I voted for the Libertarian Party years ago. I voted for the Constitution Party. Donald Trump's the only person that I voted for that actually got into office, and I regret that vote. That might anger some people, but I do. He did nothing that I thought he was going to do. There's nothing in Dennis Prager's presentation that says maybe the Republican Party needs to look inward to itself and say, why are these liberty-loving people who want to be left alone by this out-of-control government, why don't we do some things that they want us to do? He doesn't say that at all. He just says, shut up and vote R. You're evil if you don't.
So let me give you some data here from this piece. The human condition is what it is. Most people don't ask in these macro matters, or even in micro matters, will it do good, as much as they ask, will it feel good? The Libertarian Party is, let us feel good about ourselves while we help the left destroy the country. That is the Libertarian Party in a nutshell.
Again, I've just read to you that the libertarians pull from both sides. So there's this huge flaw in his entire argument.
I didn't exaggerate one iota.
They
yes, are one of the greatest helpers of the left in the country, the Libertarian Party. Libertarian think tanks are terrific.
You know what's the biggest helper? The Republican Party. The Republican Party that has turned off so many of us who really want real freedom, who want to be done with the central bank, who want to be done with endless, costly wars that do nothing for the average American. That's what's hurting the Republican Party. People are leaving the Republican Party. They're checked out. What difference does it make? You know it's corrupt. It is very hard to get up on an election day and go in there and know that you're pulling the lever for just another one of those corrupt people. And a lot of people just go, screw it. I don't even care. That's what's enabling all of this mess.
The Libertarian Party is completely destructive. Completely. It helps the left more than any other non-left thing in America.
And I'm just reading you two articles from 2016 that say that it was Hillary Clinton's camp that was going after Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party because it was eating away at Hillary's support.
Just take 2016, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, got over 4.5 million votes. That's great. That's great. What message did you send?
Well, Denny, they took away votes from Hillary Clinton, according to The Hill and Politico and all the polling. That's the message they sent. They actually helped Donald Trump. It's very interesting to me to call into question the 2016 election that Trump won. Now, he does get into, I don't know if I'll have time to get into all this. He gets into 2020 as well. Not 2022, 2022, T-O-O. What's interesting about that is that the Republicans have got a big problem here. Was the election stolen? If the election was stolen, many people believe it was, then what difference does it make who was running, at what party, or anything? Obviously, the fix was in, right? So how do you at one point say the fix was in for Joe Biden and to get rid of Donald Trump, at the same time blame the Libertarian Party for that? It wasn't the Libertarian Party monkeying around in the election system. The Libertarian Party probably doesn't have $200,000 in its bank account. It couldn't afford a 19-year-old hacker's Mountain Dew habit to get in and mess around with the elections. So I don't know how you lay blame for 2020 at the feet of libertarians if you believe that the election was stolen in the first place. And number two, he's pointing to the 2016 election that Trump won, and I've told you why. Politico and The Hill both reporting that it was Hillary Clinton that was attacking Gary Johnson because he was taking votes away from her, from the Democratic Party. So this idea of the fact that they're throwing these elections. Now, I will not say, look, the Libertarian Party is clearly on record right now. You're not going to see the Libertarian Party support a candidate to run against a Ron DeSantis. The Libertarian Party's pretty high on Ron DeSantis. He was the most freedom-loving governor in the country for the past 2.5 years. Why Tate Reeves didn't emulate him, I still don't know. But Libertarian Party loves Ron DeSantis. They would not challenge him. This is not a party that is all about, we got to get more of our people in. Libertarian Party, really, what it's actually doing It's actually focusing on some of the smallest races. They want libertarians in school boards and on city councils and things like that, where they think that they can actually affect some level of change. Libertarian Party gets congressional seats and go into Congress. They get no power. They get no funding. They won't be given any committee assignments because the Republicans and the Democrats are a mafia organization, and they shut out anybody who doesn't play their game. Your political establishment right now, if you vote R, and I understand you doing it, I'm not criticizing anybody. I understand the danger of the Democratic Party and what they're doing to this country. Make no mistake. But you are voting for essentially a mafia-style organization that will not allow any change makers to actually do anything. They sideline them. I mean, we saw, I think it was Justin Amash. Justin Amash was like the number two on some committee, but then he cast a vote that was very pro-freedom, very constitutional vote, but the Republican Party didn't want him to, so they knocked him down to like the 19th ranking member on that committee immediately. This is what the Republican Party will do. They want to keep status quo. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you about all the changes they're going to make. They're going to repeal Obamacare any day now. I can feel it. Can't you? No, they're not. They're going to tell you they're going to end all these foreign wars. Well, except for Iran and Russia and China. We got to tackle those. We got to go after those. So see, what you're doing is you're enabling a criminal organization. It doesn't matter if you vote Republican or Democrat. If you give me a good reform, I like what the Libertarian Party is doing right now, but I don't fall in love with politicians or parties. I've said that a few hundred times since I've come on this air. Libertarian Party says something or does something that I don't agree with, I'm done. I'm out. I won't spend my $25 a year to be a dues-paying member because I'm not in love with them. I'm ready for them to make a mistake. When it comes to politics, I'm like a jilted lover. I'm suspicious. I'm watching you. I don't trust you. I don't know if I'll have time to get to any more of this thing. I should have shortened it up and sped it up. But I felt like the pauses, he really does get to a point. I don't want to take this into a second day. It's probably not worth it content-wise, but he gets really condescending, starts kind of using some voices. Kind of uses a Libertarian Party. I'm voting my conscience, my principle. He kind of gets into that type of a thing. And it's very interesting to have somebody say, oh, you and your principles of small, limited government and no taxation, ending the wars that might save a few million human beings on planet Earth. Ooh, isn't that cute? I mean, there's just something kind of weird about that to me. To dismiss somebody, yeah, I want to end the wars. I think a few million innocent people would still be alive had we not kicked off this war on terror that's drained American coffers to the tune of now about $9 trillion. And have you noticed what the Republicans and Democrats have done? I've talked about this a lot. Because I am your only professed anti-war person. A lot of Republicans will say now, yeah, these Middle Eastern wars need to end. And then Trump assassinates a general with Iran, and Republicans immediately go, yeah, except Iran. We need to go after Iran. Because there's not a principle there. There's no principle to be anti-war and understand the folly of Middle Eastern wars. It's just following a cult leader and saying, he says those wars are bad, so I say those wars are bad, but he says this war is good, so I say that war is good. There's no principle there. But I've talked a lot about the fact that the Cold War ended, and within 8 months, we were doing our first invasion, first Gulf War invasion. 8 months. The Cold War, which was just a massive moneymaker for the arms industry, ended. And I think the weapons manufacturers came and said, hey, guys, what are we going to do now? And within 8 months, we were in Iraq, and that kicked off the entire Middle Eastern mess. Have you noticed what happened recently? We got out of Afghanistan. It was bad and stupid and wrong as it was. It was always going to be bad. Doesn't matter who tried to get us out of there. That was going to be chaos. But Biden did it the worst possible way, I'm sure. Because he is the worst possible president. But we got out of Afghanistan, and how many months was it before we were now spending hundreds of billions of dollars in a war with Russia? It was about another 8 months. It's almost like an intermission. Well, I guess that's 8 months that the weapons manufacturers, they just go off and travel the world, really travel, kind of get their heads back together, and then they're back in the game 8 months later. Now we'll be at this war with Russia for 20 years. This is what your Republican and Democratic Party have done. So pardon me for kind of wanting to vote my conscience and end this two-party cabal. I am all for the Republicans moving towards libertarianism because the Republicans are really good at quoting the Founding Fathers, really bad at actually emulating them. I would say the same thing to Republicans. Very, very good about talking about the genius of our Constitution and our Founding Fathers, not real good at emulating them and holding our politicians accountable to the ideals of those Founding Fathers. Oh, you can quote them. You can talk about the Constitution. You don't hold the Republican Party to the Constitution, do you? So libertarians, I'd be happy if there was no Libertarian Party because there wasn't a need for it. That'd be fantastic. If I was free, if the Republicans delivered. See, I was a Republican for a long time because they said they were going to deliver this kind of freedom and small limited government to me. So I voted for them a lot of times. But I realized after about 3-4 election cycles, they were lying to me. And so I left. It wasn't the Libertarian Party that called, Mike, come to us. We're going to change the world. No, it was me leaving the Republican Party because I realized, oh my God, they're not serious about any of this stuff. They're actually for growing the government. They are actually champing at the bit for these wars that kill innocent people and cost our troops die in these things. And cost our children. I left the Republican. The Republicans do not believe what they tell you. Some of them do. There's some good Republicans out there. Not many, but a few. They actually believe these things, but you don't see them on the you don't see them on the 5:30 news because they've got no power. Because the Republicans won't let the people who actually want smaller government rise within the Republican Party because that's bad for business. It's bad for campaign contributions. So you're voting for a corrupt party. Yeah, I think I'm going to move on. I think I've said my piece. We'll take calls on this tomorrow. I'm going to get to a little bit of Tech Tuesday stuff. I'm running out of time. But the idea that a third party is the real horror of this country at this point. As Alex Jones said, it's the Libertarian Party that's a cancer. Well, if the Republican Party was better, they might not be nipping at their heels. I'll be right back. We are back. This is Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Expect the attacks against the Libertarian Party and libertarians in general to increase. There's the midterms, particularly if the Republicans are not successful. It's not going to be the Libertarian Party that destroys the chances. A lot of people don't trust the elections anyway. It's not the Libertarian Party that's monkeying around in our elections. But, you know, I have said many times, I think the best thing that could happen in this country would be for Republicans and Democrats, everybody, to just say, let's just all dump our party affiliation and vote independent. That would scare them. They might actually try to earn your vote again. Republicans know there's a lot of conservatives out there. There's a lot of freedom lovers out there. They might actually have to deliver on it. But when they see the roles are so equally divided amongst Republicans and Democrats, they go, well, they're just going to pick us because we're going to scare the crap out of them about the other side. Both parties do that. I, for one, am glad somebody is at least speaking. And again, the Libertarian Party is not taking over anything. I'm not under any illusion. But at least there's somebody bringing up these issues that the Republicans refuse to talk about, most notably things like the central bank, which is responsible for a vast majority of the ills in this society, I say even down to the social issues. People are becoming nihilists here because they realize the American dream has been snatched away from them. They're desperate. And that is roots in our financial system, as far as I'm concerned. The Republicans, you know what they're going to do? I haven't really heard it much this campaign season, but it's because I'm not paying attention to any campaign ads. I'm not on any mailing lists. I bet the Republicans are floating out. They're going to cut your taxes, right? Well, you know what that happens when they cut your taxes, but they don't cut spending? It causes the Federal Reserve to print more money. And you know what happens when the Fed prints more money? You get inflation. Sure would be nice if there was some group out there, one of the two major political parties, explaining that to you, but they won't. So I, for one, am glad there's at least a third party out there that's trying to explain to the American people the screw job, particularly financially, that's going on in this country. Be right back. Final segment for the day today. If you want to reach me, you can find me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com. This show is also podcast. If you missed any of it or you want to check it out or anything, just go search for The Mike Madison Show. I had several callers. I wanted to get through that segment. I'm not great taking calls because I kind of have a show planned out, and a call can really – I'm not Clay Edwards. Clay Edwards can take calls and shimmy back and forth and get into other stuff. I'm a simple man. I get kind of tunnel focused, but I am curious what people think about this. So I'll try to take calls on first hour tomorrow and Thursday. If you want to talk about whether or not Libertarian Party should just extinguish itself so the Republicans can have free run at the table, you can give me a call tomorrow and let me know. I want to finish up on a little bit of tech news because there was something, I don't know if I want to call it funny, but it is one thing Republicans are much better on than the left. And it is important that we have a red wave at any point to stop this on the Democratic side. Make no mistake, I understand the need to stop the Democratic Party, particularly when it comes to their green agenda. There are so many inconvenient things that go along with the green agenda, and Hurricane Ian pointed out one of those things just a couple of weeks ago.
What's making these electric vehicles basically explode?
So you have the stored energy in the battery. So just because the vehicle is submerged doesn't mean that energy is discharged in any way. Anytime you mix, you know, electrical components and salt water together, there's a recipe for disaster.
And this is the left that's telling us that the seas are rising. New York City is going to be underwater any day now. Well, these electric cars and salt water apparently do not mix.
North Collier Fire District had to cut open a Tesla and spray down the battery that was on fire. Just this fire department says they've had it happen four times in 1 week.
I think that as we've moved over to electric vehicles, this is the first time we've seen anything like this.
The issue is the batteries in the car can reignite over and over again.
Uh-oh.
Florida State Fire Marshal Jimmy Petronas says it takes a lot of water and foam to put them out for good.
With the EV technology being so new, do you think we should be concerned?
I do. So look, it was a natural disaster. And we learn something from every single natural disaster. We truly do. And what we are learning from this one is EVs are not compatible with salt water. When they become inoperable, when they have shorts, when they have corrosion issues, and they're inoperable, and they're actually in your garage, as a lot of cars were because of this storm surge event, they become now a fire hazard for your house.
And the state fire marshal telling people on the west coast of Florida, if their Teslas or electric cars were flooded and are inside their garage right now, inoperable, to actually get a tow truck and have those cars pulled out into the driveway or push them out. It's not worth the risk that they might catch fire while they're in your house. We reached out to Tesla today, but did not get a response.
So there you go. There's the green revolution burning houses down across central Florida this past couple of weeks. And again, this is the left that's telling us the sea levels are rising. I think it's irresponsible at this particular junction of our history to force people to get electric cars during potential floods. They talk about the record flooding. We saw a bunch of flooding in Kentucky. Kentuckians can't have electric cars. You're off the hook. And I mean, and it's almost funny in that you can't get them out of the water. You got a gas fire engine. I mean, if your muffler goes underwater, you may stall out a little bit, but that's it. You know, they'll tow you off later. With these things, you get caught in floodwater, boom. And these fires are not—they're not your average fires. These things take—I think they say something like 6 hours of fire department attention to try to put out one of these fires. I saw a fire on the interstate a couple of weeks ago at night. Really quite a remarkable sight. You don't see them very often. And this car was fully engulfed and the fire department was there. I would imagine, 30 minutes? Maybe a couple of guys left behind just to make sure nothing reignites, but they foam the thing or do whatever and put the fire out. Not with an electric car. It is the fire that keeps on giving. So this is another giant swing and a miss. And Republicans are much, much better on this stuff. They would not force this transition towards renewable sources. So there you go. There's a feather in the cap of the Republican Party. It's just about everything else that they really get quite wrong. I wanted to read this real quick, too, last couple minutes I've got left, because when it comes to technology and what to beware of, is the central bank digital currencies. And something was said the other day that I think needs to be brought out. The IMF, they're going to try to roll these things out. When we have this financial crisis, get ready. They're going to try to roll out these central bank digital currencies. And I have no faith that the Republican Party will stand in the way, because they will do what the central bank wants, because that's the game that the two political parties play. That's why they don't tell you anything about the central bank. And it's never an issue with them, even though it is the cause of so much suffering, not only in America, but around the world. And they refuse to talk about it. International Monetary Fund has said that central bank digital currencies, that's CBDCs, could potentially allow a government to control what people spend their hard-earned cash on. To all of you out there who think, oh, I'm fine with digital money in a cashless society, I barely use cash anyway. Speaking at the IMF World Bank annual meeting on October 15th, Deputy Managing Director Bo Lee said that CBDC could improve, quote, financial inclusion through programmability. This is what he said. A CBDC can allow a government agency and private sector players to program to create smart contracts to allow targeted policy functions. For example, welfare payments, for example, consumption coupons, for example, food stamps. And here it is. Quote, by programming central bank digital currencies, that money can be precisely targeted for what kind of people can own, and for what kind of use this money can be utilized. For example, for food. They're gonna try to corral us into these central bank digital currencies, and then just give us enough to just maybe not starve to death and do a French style revolution. They'll give you just enough sustenance. Just enough to keep you alive, working hard for that next central bank digital currency deposit. And a whole big article on this, I may cover it another day. These things are to be opposed with every last breath. And I'm telling you, it's really only the Libertarian Party that's even talking about that. So there's that. Got to go. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.